Well, welcome back to our Sunday night service. I'm glad you're with us tonight, and we're going to begin by singing a hymn together, a good song, a song that all of you know, Victory in Jesus, and we'll sing the first two verses together. I don't really think you need the words to this. I think you're all familiar with it, but let me just touch on the second verse. It says, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. And I thought about that verse, especially in light of what our country's going through with the virus right now. He's still the God of healing. We can still appeal to him with that reality. As we focus tonight on the Lord's Prayer once again, remember that we have that privilege of calling to him and asking for things. So one of those things that we can ask for is for God to intervene and God to do a work of protection and healing in our own lives. So if you would, join with me, and we'll sing that really good song. We'll sing those first two verses of Victory in Jesus.
I heard about let's start again. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I think that's one of our all-time favorites. Tremendous, tremendous song. We're going to go to prayer, and as we do tonight, there are some requests that we want to remember. Of course, I mentioned already that Don Myers tomorrow at 5:45 in the morning is going to be having surgery at Ruby Memorial. It's an outpatient surgery, but be in prayer for Don. I continue to remember Katie. She's had a good day today.
I think that's one of our all-time favorites.
God had just hasten her in her recovery. And then we had a special request. This gentleman, his name is Michael Wade. He's a member of the Windsor Baptist Church. This is the former home church of Phil and Bethany LeBou there in Windsor, Colorado. And Mr. Wade is battling the COVID-19 virus, and he is in intensive care, I believe, on the ventilator. We need to be in prayer for Mr. Wade. So this disease, you know, knows no discretion. It touches anyone and everyone. So we need to be in prayer for our brothers and sisters, and of course for Michael Wade. And then if you would remember Nathaniel Smith. Nathaniel has been activated, and he'll be headed there with the Navy to New York City and the New Jersey area. And they'll be moving into that area, and he'll have a 270-day deployment, or at least activation. with the Navy, and we'll be serving up there. Of course, this is the hotbed for the coronavirus. So if you would, remember Grant and Carrie's son, Nathaniel, that God would just put his protection around him, and God would just do a special work for Nathaniel during this time. So if you would, let's bow together in prayer. Let's ask God to work in these lives. Just ask God to bless the teaching of his word this evening as we look into the Bible here in just a few moments. Father, I thank you once again for allowing us to come before you. Lord, wherever we're at, whether we're here in this church building, whether we're in our homes, Lord, whether we're walking outdoors or whether we're in the workplace, you tell us that we can come boldly unto you, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we certainly ask for mercy tonight. We certainly ask you to pour out your grace. Father, our lives tonight. Again, we think about Brother Don as he is preparing now in just a matter of hours to have yet another surgery, that you would bring him safely through it, that you'd continue to work in his life, and of course Marianne's as well, just with a very special touch of healing. Lord, we think about Michael Wade. We don't know this gentleman personally, but we know he's a brother in Christ, and he is in need. We ask, Lord, that you would do something special for him. Lord, that you would do a special work for his family as well. Lord, help him to look to you. I ask, Lord, that you continue to just bring healing to Katie. Just give her good rest tonight as she's recovering. And then, Father, we think about Nathaniel Smith as he is being deployed to the New York City, New Jersey area, as a number of Navy personnel will be there working to help folks through this critical time. Lord, we certainly ask for his protection physically from the disease. We ask, Lord, that you would work to give him just understanding and wisdom to be able to do his job well, to serve that community there in our nation well. And Lord, just calm him. Lord, help him to look to you. And Father, I just would ask that you would help us to believe you. We have heard from those who not only are in authority, but those who have understanding of what we're going through tell us that we're about to enter into the darkest days of this pandemic. Lord, help us not to live in fear. And again, I just think of your word, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God and whom I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Lord, help us to believe you and trust you. Lord, we have not because we ask not. And I ask that you would do a work of deliverance.
Lord,
while many people are battling physically tonight, we would ask that, especially for your children, I just ask, Lord, as they approach you in prayer and seek answers, that they would, number one, believe you. Secondly, Lord, that they would be comforted in your word, and you would do a special work. We're going to be looking in your Bible tonight again, looking on that subject of prayer, and I ask that you would teach us much. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We would ask that
I mentioned this morning that we have a special announcement to make. You're going to be receiving a letter midway through this week concerning Resurrection Sunday, this coming Sunday. If you happen to hear the governor's press conference from, I think, 2 days ago, he made reference to the fact that we are still under the stay-at-home order. However, he has said that churches that choose to meet in parking lots, churches that choose to meet outdoors, he certainly gave his approval to that. And I know there's a lot of debate going back and forth as to whether or not we're obligated to heed such orders. But be that as it may, since we know that there is the opportunity, I'm going to take that opportunity next week. So here will be the schedule. Of course, we'll be meeting on Wednesday night here on live stream for our midweek Bible study. And then next Sunday morning at 11, I will once again live stream the Sunday morning hour. And then at 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, after the weather has a chance to warm up just a little bit, we're going to do a service in our church parking lot, lower parking lot. And as you enter, we'll be directed to pull under the carport where someone's going to get a photograph of you and your family and your vehicles, and you'll be sent to the back parking lot. We'll have one or two men there to space you there as you are in your vehicles, and we're going to keep you in your vehicles. And as we space you out, if the weather is decent, then if you'd like to bring some lawn chairs and sit beside your car or sit on the hood of your car, you're welcome to do that. The weather is 40% chance of rain next Sunday, so if you choose to sit in your car, you can certainly do that. But one thing I would ask that you would keep yourselves to your own vehicles, that there be no attempts to go to other vehicles or to, you know, shake hands or hug each other. I know it's been a few weeks since everybody's seen one another, and I know the way our church is, we love to fellowship, we love to hug each other and to, you know, shake each other's hands. But I would ask that you refrain from that, especially as we get into the heavy part of this pandemic, especially as this area is going to enter in more and more into difficulties. We're going to have the basement doors propped open so that if there is a need for someone to use the restrooms, you can do so, but you will need to use the restrooms in the lower level only. We will not have the building open for any other purposes. In fact, we are asking that no one would go through the building. If you need to go in and use restrooms there on the lower level, that you could do that. But again, we ask that there be no contact with each other, that you would honor what we have been asked to honor, so that we wouldn't jeopardize the opportunity to do what we're going to do. If things go well next Sunday, then I am looking at doing this each Sunday at 11 o'clock in our regular worship hour. So I trust that you will take opportunity on Resurrection Sunday to be here next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And just keep that in mind. Also, we're going to continue tonight in the series of Protocols for Prayer. And as we do that, I just want to remind you that on our Facebook page as well as our website, we're making available the short films called The Protocols for Prayer, and we'll be placing this protocol for you to view, the Tenderheartedness Protocol. This is a series of short films produced by Harold Vaughn of Christ Life Ministries. I mentioned before that as we have attended the prayer advances over the years, this past January, Brother Vaughn presented to us this series and taught through it and made a book available along with these short films. Now you can go on Christ Life Ministries and easily view all of them. This or he's given us permission to place these on our sites as well. So I trust that you'll take opportunity at some point to view that, and eventually we'll have all of those short films on our sites so that you can view all of them and go back and look at them more than once, possibly. But those things will be available for you tonight after our service here is done. We're going to do one more song together, and a very good song, and a song that's very appropriate. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour. I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. We're going to sing that first verse, and then we're going to sing that third verse. It says, I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. So we'll sing those two verses.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. In joy or pain. Come quickly and abide. Or life is vain. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
every hour I need thee.
We're going to take our Bibles tonight. We're going back to Matthew chapter 6 as we have for the last several weeks on Sunday evenings as we've been in this study on prayer. On what is known as the Lord's Prayer by some. Some call it the model prayer. Some refer to it even as the disciples' prayer, which would probably be more appropriate because it was Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray properly. So we're going to be looking at that. Matthew chapter 6. And so hopefully you have your Bibles there beside you or in your lap where you can follow along. And if you would, just take your Bible and turn there to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 9 through 13 once again. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive.
And we have often said this prayer in public events, or we have said this on special occasions as people of God. And as I've heard others say, sometimes it's said mechanically, sometimes it's said hypocritically. Nevertheless, we're all very familiar with this, and many who do not claim to know the Lord Jesus have uttered these words, know this prayer. It's one thing to know it as far as having it memorized or recalling having said it, but it's another thing to make it come alive in our life. I want you to notice again those first words back in verse 9. Jesus said to his disciples, after this manner, pray ye. This is the way I want you to pray. This is the manner, or this is the means by which I want you to pray. And again, as we sat there in Roanoke, Virginia, at the prayer advance, Brother Vaughn, Harold Vaughn, used the term protocol.
This is
so I remind you that we use protocol in many areas. Of course, if you have served in the military, if you were an enlisted man, there was a protocol how you approached an officer. If you were a subject of the British Crown, there would be a certain way that you approach and greet the Queen. Of course, we as American citizens have a protocol how we come and approach the President of the United States. There's protocol. And in essence, Jesus is saying, men, ladies, listen, there is a protocol to approaching your Heavenly Father. There is a protocol. There's a right way to do this, and I want you to learn this manner. I want you to pray in this way. So again, this is not Pastor Vaughn's opinion. It's not Harold Vaughn's opinion. It's not any theologian's opinion. This is what God has given us. This is what the Lord Jesus himself said about prayer, how we are to pray. The protocol, the manner of prayer, begins there in verse 9 by approaching God for who he is in our life right now. If you're saved, he is your Father. We know in the book of Romans that we're told that we can approach him and refer to him as Abba. The word Abba means Daddy. It's a personal word. That he is not just the King. He is not just the Creator. He is not just the Lord. He is not just God Almighty. He is Daddy. He is our Father by virtue of the fact that we've been placed in his family the moment we got saved. And you can approach God, and the Bible tells us
the Lord.
Tells us in the book of Hebrews that we can come boldly under the throne of grace, and we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You can come boldly because he's your daddy, he's your father, and you can approach him that way. Yeah, we know this, that sometimes we can get so used to a personal relationship that we begin to take that individual that we love for granted. Sometimes we see this in the marriage relationship where a man and a woman marry, and after a long period of time, even though they really love one another, they begin to take one another for granted. And certainly, the Lord Jesus does not want anyone, any of God's children, to take his Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father for granted. So he said, when you approach the Father, don't allow, as the old saying goes, familiarity to breed contempt. You just take that relationship for granted. But recall, remember who you are addressing. Yes, he is your father.
Don't allow
you have that personal relationship of him being your daddy, if you would. But he's also God. He's also that Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah. He is the great, dreadful God. Listen, we ought to approach him for what he is. And you notice in verse 9, we're to hallow his name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Isaiah said, he is holy, holy, holy.
For what he is.
The angels in heaven, there in the book of Revelation, cry out, holy, holy, holy. We need to realize that as we approach him, while we have the close relationship of him being our Father, he is still the God of holiness. And we need to recognize him that way as we come near him, to have a right perspective, the right respect for our Father. In verse 10, we're told that we are to say, thy kingdom come. Now, you don't have to use those exact words, obviously. This is a model for how we are to pray. But the attitude of saying, God, I want your kingdom to come. In other words, while he is Father, he is still the king. Every kingdom has a king. And if you are part of the kingdom, and as we saw this morning, those of us who are born again are part of the kingdom. We've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Listen, then we need to be respectful of the king and realize that ultimately whatever he wants to accomplish in his kingdom should be what we want to see accomplished in our kingdom. You know, there's a saying that every man is the king of his house. Well, that's a cute little saying, we'll put it that way. And to some degree, we as men hope that our wives and our children respect us and look at us that way. But the reality, the king of our house should not be us, men. It should be our Savior. It should be our Heavenly Father. It should be the one that we call Abba. He is King, and his authority should rule supreme. The things he wants to accomplish with his kingdom should be the things that we want to see accomplished through our lives. And so Jesus said, when you pray, our Father, hallowed be thy name.
The things he wants to accomplish with his kingdom,
you get accomplished what you desire for your kingdom's sake. And then that next phrase there in verse 10 is this:
hallowed be thy name,
thy will be done,
thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
For your kingdom's
God,
sake.
I want you
and then that next phrase there
to
in verse 10.
Fulfill your sovereign will. Listen, I have a will that I would like to see accomplished in a selfish way.
As it is in heaven.
There are things that I would like to see God do for me that may not exactly be what God wants to have done through me. So he said, I want you to approach the Father knowing that you come based on that close-knit relationship of Father, child.
God wants to have done
but as you come, realize
that
it's the Father's will that needs to be accomplished, not your own.
Based on that,
and so he said, when you approach
of father,
my Father,
child,
realize he's sovereign.
But as you
realize
come,
his will is the will that needs to be accomplished, not your own.
Will that needs to be accomplished, not
he's our Father. He is holiness.
And so he said,
he is king.
He
is sovereign.
My Father,
when you put God in the right place in your life,
needs to be accomplished, not your own.
It will afford you God's right provision.
He is holiness.
So the first portion of this prayer focuses on you and me through prayer getting a right perspective of God. It helps you and me put God in his rightful place in our lives.
So the first,
yes, he is Father, and we should have no fear, no hesitation about coming to him, but realize we come into the presence of holiness. He's the King, and he is sovereign, and his will should be accomplished through us. And when you put God in his right place in your life, it will afford you then to get God's right provision.
I think
people,
and
we see this in the book of James, he says they have not because they ask not, but then he says they ask amiss, that they may consume it upon their own lust. I fear that people don't put God in his rightful place. They don't see him in his holiness.
They
don't see him as the King of the kingdom.
They
see themselves as the one who's in charge. And we're going to ask God like we would ask a genie to fulfill the things that we desire.
In his holiness.
We don't recognize his sovereignty and choose to see his will accomplished. Listen, that way of praying has to change. We need to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, as you put God again in his rightful place in the way of your thinking and in your spirit, then you can approach God. And he'll afford you the right provisions because it's going to change the way we ask for things. We're going to look at it from God's perspective, not solely from our perspective. So we saw a few weeks ago, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Listen, he provides food. He provides our needs, if you will.
And so we
verse 12,
a few weeks ago, verse 11,
and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Listen,
God provides his children
food.
Forgiveness. Listen, every child needs forgiveness. When I was a little boy, there are times when I disobeyed. There are times where I had to be disciplined for my disobedience. I was never put out of my father's family, but there were times where I disappointed my father. There was times I disobeyed my father. There was times I had to go to my father and ask forgiveness. The father provides forgiveness. And the verse we're going to focus on tonight is verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Listen.
The Father provides
He provides forgiveness. He provides a fortress. Let me say it again. Verse 11 teaches us that as we put God in the rightful place, he'll give us right provision. He provides us food. He provides us, verse 12, with forgiveness. Verse 13, he provides us a fortress.
Verse 11 teaches us.
Look again at verse 13. And lead
us
not into temptation. But deliver us
from evil. Verse 12.
Now, I want you to think about what David said in Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress
and
my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust,
my
buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
The Lord is my rock
and
my fortress and
God
my deliverer. My God
is the one I can run into and be safe.
God
is my fortress, and he is the one that has the power to deliver me.
David said,
listen, we all face an enemy.
Is the one I can run
we all face evil.
God is my
and the
fortress,
one that can
the one
defend us, the one that can protect us, and the one that can deliver us
listen,
is the Lord
we
himself. And God says that he'll deliver us from evil. And we are to ask for those things. We're to ask for that kind of protection. Jesus said
that
we can and we should pray to the Father to lead
us
not into temptation.
And we
deliver
are
us
to ask for those things.
Now,
we're to ask for that.
This is our privilege.
Jesus said that we can.
This is our privilege.
And we should pray
because this is our need.
Father,
I need God as my fortress. And I can't think of any more stark picture of that than what we're going through right now.
This is our need.
We need God's protection
need
in a physical way.
God
we need God's
fortress.
Protection spiritually. We need God's protection emotionally. We need
God's
protection in every possible way that you might think of. We need God's protection. It's our privilege to be able to ask God for these things because it's our need. Think about this. Just as much as you need food, and just as much as a child needs forgiveness, you and I need a fortress, and our fortress is the Lord. He says, listen, I want you to know that you have the privilege to ask me for your daily bread. I want you to know that you can come and ask me for forgiveness when you mess up. I want you to know that you can call on me, and I'll be your fortress. I want to deliver you from evil. When we're commanded to pray, you know, lead us not into temptation, it is necessary to remember this plain teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, it's found in the book of James, and I say it's from the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the Word. Therefore, these are his words, though it was written by James through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. James chapter 1, verse 13. That verse says this, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now listen, we're told to pray, lead us not into temptation. But I want you to remember this, that God is not going to lead you or me into temptation to sin. God, we're told there in James 1:13, himself cannot be tempted with evil, nor does God tempt people with evil. God would no more tempt you to sin any more than he tempted his son Jesus Christ to sin. That's not the case at all. Remember, we studied a number of weeks ago on Sunday morning, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, when Jesus had been baptized and he was taken into the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I want you to notice this. It was the Holy Spirit who led Jesus into the wilderness. But it was the devil who tempted the Lord Jesus. And yes, Satan's goal was to try to get Jesus to fail. If he would, to sin. To go against what the Scripture said.
Who tempted the Lord Jesus.
The Holy Spirit took him into a place to try him. Satan saw the opportunity
to
tempt him to sin.
To go against what the Scripture said.
We find the word tempted.
The Holy Spirit took him into a place to try him.
That word simply means to tempt or to test. It really has a twofold view. It could mean to tempt. In other words, tempt to sin. Or it can mean test with the thought of overcoming. That can be applied either way. And I want you to recall what we said a few weeks ago as we looked at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, as we looked at Jesus going into the wilderness for those 40 days and 40 nights and facing that battle, if you would, with Satan. There was a perspective. There was God's standpoint, God's viewpoint, and there was Satan's perspective, his standpoint, his viewpoint. From God's standpoint, the purpose of Jesus going into the wilderness, was to test him for the purpose of overcoming. Why? Because he is our great example. Jesus Christ, as we're told in the book of 1 Peter, is our example. Our example. And we're to follow his steps. So as Jesus learned to overcome, we should follow his example in order to overcome. And we look thoroughly at that, how the Lord Jesus used his own word, his own written word, to overcome Satan's temptation. Now, from God's perspective, from his standpoint, the purpose was to test so that there would be an overcoming. But from Satan's standpoint, the purpose was a temptation to cause to sin.
From God's perspective, from
he was attempting to get Jesus Christ
to
sin,
so that there would be an overcoming.
Now,
but from Satan's standpoint,
I want you to think about the example we gave you
to cause
those weeks
sin.
Ago. It's an Old Testament example found in the life of Joseph.
Sin.
And remember, Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers. His brothers had actually plotted his murder. And in the midst of seeking to put him to death, his brother Reuben delivered him from death. They just threw him down in a pit. As he leaves, there was this thought given, I think it was Judah, who said, hey, why don't we just sell him? Now, it's probably not a good thing that we kill our brother and take his blood, so since we're not going to do that, why don't we just sell him and get him out of our hair? We won't have to worry about him anymore. And so they sold Joseph into captivity, and for the next several years of Joseph's young life into adulthood, he spent in slavery and in prison there in Egypt. You know how he was elevated to the position of second only to Pharaoh. He became really the most powerful man on the face of the earth in those days.
In slavery and in prison.
And he would be confronted with his brothers one more time.
You know how he was elevated.
And he delivered his brothers. He delivered his brothers from certain death because of the great famine that had stricken the Middle East. Now, taking you to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You don't have to turn there, but I want you to listen to the words of Joseph to his brothers. He says, but as for you, he thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. I use that verse because it shows you the two perspectives. From the brother's perspective, they were out to do evil to Joseph. From God's perspective, he was going to use this for good. That word tempt, as is used here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and even the word temptation, as we find it here in the Lord's Prayer, carries that attitude, listen,
as is used
of God using events in our lives to teach us to overcome, whereas Satan will try to use the event to try to get us to sin. Now, I want you to look again back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. In verse 13, Jesus said, disciples, you have the privilege of asking for your daily food. You have the privilege of asking for daily forgiveness. And you have the privilege before my Father of asking for daily deliverance. And so he said, you can daily go to the Father and say, lead us not into temptation. Well, listen, God is not going to try to cause you and me to sin. So we are not asking God not to tempt us to sin. That's not the point of this verse. What I believe we are to be asking God to do is to lead us away from unnecessary testing. To lead us away from unnecessary testing. You say, what does that mean? Again, I will say this from the perspective of my personal view. And that is this,
to lead us away
that oftentimes I put myself in a place of testing when I did not need to go to that place of testing in the first place. I put myself at times in a place of testing when I did not have to enter that place of testing in the first place.
When I did not need to go to that place
Listen
of testing
me.
In the first place.
There is necessary times of testing slash temptation. But why go through what we don't need to go through? In other words, yes, there are times where God will, through his sovereign will, because he's king, he is Lord of our life, will place us in times of testing to teach us to be overcomers, to teach us to rely on him, to teach us to grow in faith. Those things will happen. But I'm fearful that sometimes, because we don't properly pray as we're taught to pray, that we have things enter into our life that never had to happen had we just taken advantage of praying, as Jesus said, in this manner. I want you to take your Bibles and go back to the book of 1 Peter. There toward the end of the New Testament, go back to the book of 1 Peter and look at chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, there's something very obvious here, that Jesus Christ allows us to go through, God the Father allows us to go through times of testing. The term manifold temptations, various kinds and many types of being put to the test. That's the attitude here, and that's defined in the next verse, verse 7, that term manifold temptations or temptations is defined as you enter into verse 7, that the trial of your faith. God allows these things to come in your life not to try to get you to sin, but he allows these things to come into your life to cause you to bring forth to the name of Jesus Christ praise, honor, and glory. Praise, honor, and glory to him, as really as well as to yourself, for being not only obedient to endure the trials, but to pass the testing, if you would. Now, I read that because it's very obvious that there are times where God will put you through trials. And it doesn't matter how much you pray, God has determined that you need to grow. You need to go through these things. Here is God. He's dealing with his choice servant Job, and he allows him to enter into fiery trials in his life. And Job's attitude as he goes through those things,
God, he said, he's dealing with that
I shall come forth as gold. Through every test that I go through, I'll come forth as gold. Job did not try to say to God, hey, you know, this is all wrong. I shouldn't be going through these things. His attitude toward going through a time of trial, a time of testing, was, God, just help me to come forth as gold. Shine forth for you, not to shame your name or to deny you during this time. So we know that there are going to be events in our life that God allows and God, if you would, plans in order to grow us and to bring glory to his name.
Shame your name or to deny you during this time.
But I think of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. This actually involves Jesus himself. He is about to go through the greatest trial of his human life.
I want you to listen to these words.
And Jesus went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will.
But as thou wilt.
Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And we know that Jesus is now in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is but a short few hours from being tried and then crucified. And there in the garden,
Jesus is now
there in his humanity, he cries out to the Father and says, hey, Father, if it be possible to let this cup pass from me, this trial by fire, if it were possible to let this pass from me, you know, to have to be separated from you, God, that's what my flesh would want. That's what I would desire. But notice,
trial by fire,
he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. God the Father, whatever you want. I know what my flesh wants. I don't want to go through this suffering. I know that. I don't want to go through the separation from you, Father. But it's not my will that's important. It's that your name be glorified, that your name be honored. And God, if you would decide to
go through this,
let me go through this.
I don't want to go through this separation from you,
then
Father,
I accept it.
But it's not my
But I want you to notice the fact that Jesus prayed in such a way that
God, if you would,
we too can take delight in the fact that God tells us, here is your privilege. You can ask me for daily food. You can ask me for daily forgiveness because you will, as my children, fail me at times. And you can ask for a daily fortress, a deliverance from evil.
You can ask me for daily
and sometimes that deliverance comes by not being led to that place of trial in the first place.
And you can ask for a daily fortress.
Listen, I would encourage you to pray that way. I'd encourage you to, just as we quoted part of Psalm 91, pray that way. Listen, I don't think every Christian needs to get the coronavirus and be healed to prove that God delivers. In fact, my desire would be for myself, my family, my church family, and others, that that disease would touch none of us. Yet, if God would so choose that somehow through it we would bring glory and honor and blessing to His name. But I think sometimes we go through things simply because we do not take advantage of praying in the manner that the Lord Jesus said, this is the way I really want you to pray. I want you to pray, lead me not into temptation. Don't lead me into a trial where I could possibly
the Lord Jesus said,
fail and deny your name.
I want you to pray.
God, I know I have to go through trials. I know you are going to grow me and mature me, and you're going to send me through things to bring glory to your name. But God, if there are things that really aren't necessary, then God, you keep those things from me.
God, I know I have to go through trials.
And you certainly have the Father's approval to pray that way.
Lead
us not into temptation. Second part of that.
God, that statement, really
but deliver us from evil.
God, you keep
the word evil means
me.
Things that are hurtful.
And
that's
you
true.
Have the Father's approval to pray that
and
way.
It also means from the evil one, from Satan himself.
Second part of that,
Lord, you deliver me from whatever Satan would do to try
to hurt
me.
That's true.
Remember, it was Satan
and it also means
who
from
came
the
against
evil
Job.
One, from Satan himself.
Satan
Lord,
is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is the one who is the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. And
remember, it was Satan.
Jesus said, this is the manner I want you to pray. I want you to pray that you not be led into temptation. In fact, that you be delivered from those things that are hurtful. If it's not necessary for you to go through those things, then don't go through them. Ask the Father's protection and ask Him to deliver you from the evil one. Ask the Lord to deliver you from unnecessary trials that would allow Satan to take advantage of you and use it against you. We have that privilege. And when we do that, God will either lead us from it or He'll give us a way to escape it if we are allowed to go into certain trials and temptations.
And when we do that,
remember the words of 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So if you pray and say, God, lead us not into temptation, but God says, no, son, no, my daughter, I'm going to allow you to go through this thing, realize this, if he allows you to enter into a trial, then he'll make a way for you to escape so that it does not become sin in your life. He'll give you a way to escape so that you can bring glory and honor to your Savior. I want you to look with me as we close tonight at a passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I think this will help somewhat drive home the point that I'm trying to get across tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I want you to look at verses 1 through 3.
Chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3.
Paul said to the church, finally, brethren, pray for us
that
the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith.
Finally, brethren,
but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now I want you to notice back in verse 2.
That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men.
I want you to pray for us that we would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For what purpose?
Back in verse 2.
That God's word would have freedom and be glorified through our lives. And Paul's reasoning was, if we're constantly hindered and brought into persecutions and trials, that's not going to happen.
God's word,
so he said to the church, I want you to pray in essence,
and be glorified.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us
from
these unreasonable and wicked men.
Persecutions and trials.
Verse 3.
That's
but the Lord is faithful. Notice this. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He'll keep you from the evil one. So certainly we should pray to that end.
Verse 3.
Now here's my thought.
The Lord is faithful. Notice this. The Lord is faithful.
If I don't take advantage of praying the way that God said I command you to pray this way. This is the protocol. This is the manner in which you're to pray. If I don't take advantage of that, then I should be willing to accept anything and everything that comes into my life because I have not taken advantage of this opportunity to see this temptation steered away from me.
Then I should
so whatever comes, in a sense, we could say we deserve because we've not taken these matters to the Lord in prayer. Secondly,
this temptation
if you follow what Jesus taught in the manner of praying, in this protocol
of prayer, because we've not
then
we've not
when
taken
you
these
are
to the Lord
brought to
in
trial
prayer.
In your life, you'll know this.
Secondly,
that it was
if you
God's
follow
choosing.
What Jesus taught,
that it wasn't just happenstance that could have been kept from you had you prayed.
When you are
now you know for certain
life,
that these things
this,
are of God,
that
and in that
God's
you can
choosing.
Just rest in Him. God
has
allowed this purposely to come into my life. God, help me to bring glory to Your name. Help me not to try to quickly get out of something until I have thoroughly learned what You're trying to teach me. And God, through every moment of it, help me bring You glory and mature me and make me more like Your Son. You'll at least have the satisfaction of knowing that the thing that you are in, the trial that you're in, that temptation, if you would, is truly of the Lord, and He's trying to do something good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. And I trust you'll take every opportunity to pray the way that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. By the way, if you're saved, you are His disciple. By the way, you are part of His kingdom. By the way, you are His child.
Every opportunity,
and you ought to take advantage of the privilege
the way
that
Jesus
God, our Father, has given us
way,
to approach Him in prayer in such
disciple.
A great way.
By the
conclusion
way,
of this prayer says
kingdom.
This, for thine
the
is
way,
the kingdom
child,
and the power and the glory forever. And lead us not into temptation,
God,
but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and it is.
Way.
He
the
is king.
Of this prayer
he gets to decide what trials we go through. Thine is the power. God has the ability to deliver us from either entering into a temptation or sustaining us through a temptation. And the purpose for it all is so that He gets the glory. So if God does choose to allow you to go through the trials, God does allow you to go through those difficulties in your life, listen, keep in mind, bring Him glory. Bring Him glory. It's His kingdom. It's His power. It's His glory. You ought to seek to honor Him through those things. I trust that we'll pray as we have been commanded to pray. Let's bow our heads for prayer this evening together.
Bring Him glory.
With our heads bowed,
again,
I just encourage you as God's child to be serious about the matter of prayer in your life.
As we have been commanded to pray.
You know, we are forced to stay at home.
Our heads bowed.
No one can go to the ball field.
Encourage you.
No one can go
to
the state parks. No one can jump on an aircraft and fly across country on vacation. We're all just kind of stuck at home.
And
we've got time now.
Many,
if not most, are not headed to work every day. We've got time to pray. What a great time in the midst of this difficulty to learn to pray the way that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray.
Many, if not most,
take time.
Not headed to work every day.
Implement
we've got time to pray.
These protocols to prayer in your personal life.
in the midst of this.
Get your mind into a right perspective of God so that you can get His right provisions for your life. Daily food, daily forgiveness, daily protection.
These protocols,
let God work in your life in a very special way.
Get your mind into a right perspective of God so
that
you can get His right provisions for your life.
Don't know the Lord Jesus personally as your Savior.
Daily forgiveness,
and again,
daily
I just encourage you,
let God
just to bow your head before this holy God and realize He loves you and sent His Son to die for you.
Don't know the Lord Jesus
and call upon Jesus Christ to come into your life
and
ask His forgiveness of sin. Trust that His blood can wash away that sin. And simply believe the work He did, that He died, was buried, and rose again the third day for you so that you can have eternal life. Ask Him to save you. Just to ask Him to save you where you're at. Father, I pray you take what has been preached here tonight.
Believe the work He did, that He died,
pray you use it
buried and rose again
for good
for
your people.
So that you can have eternal life. Ask Him to save you.
Lord, I ask not only for your people,
just
but any who might
you where you're at.
Have never
Father,
put their faith in Christ, that they would become one of your own by receiving your Son as their Savior.
Pray you use it.
Lord, I just ask
for good for your people,
that you would do this
Lord,
blessed work in our lives.
People,
and again, I ask for everyone that you would just place your protection around them during these difficult days. I ask, Lord, that they would look to
Lord,
you, trust you,
that you
believe you, lean upon you, claim the promises of your word,
and, again, I ask for
and just rest
just
in your care.
Your them,
Father, we'll thank you for what you'll do.
Days.
We pray these things
ask,
in
Lord,
Jesus' name.
You,
amen.
Trust you.
Please don't forget about what we mentioned about this coming Sunday on Resurrection Day, a special service here in the church parking lot at 3 o'clock. And so if you would just take opportunity and time to plan on that. And again, if you are in poor health, if there is added danger to you to be out and about, please, you know, do the right thing. Don't jeopardize your physical health.
Again, if you are,
we'll do all we can to make sure we minister to you, even if you can't get outside of your home. But for those who are able and would like to come next Sunday at 3 o'clock, we'll meet here in our back parking lot. Lord bless you and give you a great evening.
We'll
see you on Wednesday night.
Bye.